Hello and welcome to the Ricky Swappers on our new segment for our sunny summery albums to recommend for you. We are the Ricky Swappers. My name is Gabriel. I'm joined, as always, by Viking.
Hi, I'm Viking.
And don't you enjoy our Swedish summer vibes out there, Viking?
Oh yeah, I love it when it snows in May. This is how I love it.
It's like the world is like, oh, you're going to do your summer episode today? Let's throw some irony your way. So yeah, but we're gonna do Viking's pick, Courtney Barnett's "A Sea of Split Peas." But we have some other stuff to talk about first, like we always do.
Yes.
And let's do the do by getting into it like we always do with, I guess, Black Artists Matter.
Yes.
I want to go first, Papa.
Yeah, I guess you go first then.
So my recommendation today for Black Artists Matter is Keenan Lonsdale. I always want to put a G in his name, but it's Lons and not Longdale. Keenan Lonsdale is an Australian actor, dancer, and singer-songwriter.
Well, that's very fitting for our episode.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of fun. His genres are mainly hip-hop, pop. I was going to say bop. His music is a bop. Pop and R&B. He's known for acting through shows like Dance Academy. He's Wally West / Kid Flash in the CW series. And he's also been in the movies Divergent series and the... what's it called? The Love, Simon movie that came out 2018.
Yeah.
That I never got to see, but it's always on my watch list. And I actually am sad to say that I missed that he released an album last year. And I missed it somehow. Which is called Rainbow Boy. Which is really amazing. I listened to some of it today. It's very, very good. And we listened to two of the songs from that. No, one of the songs of that album today. Gay Street Fighter. Which is, oh God, it hits so hard. I love it.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, I hopefully someday we'll take the album or we just listen to it in our spare time. Because that would be fun to do, honestly.
Yes.
What about you, Viking? What you got?
Yes. So, my pick for... like, apparently it's Black Artists Matter Queer Edition.
Yay! That's good.
My pick is Dua Saleh, who is a Sudanese American recording artist. She debuted in 2019 with her first EP and been going strong since then. And just recently released another song, so I'm excited to see what else they put up.
The songs we listened to, were they from one of the new songs or were the...
The second song was the new song.
Okay. I liked both of them, but the first song really stuck with me, I have to say. Mm. It was a bop. Bop it. Twist it. Yeah. So, yeah.
Ooh, I also recently saw she apparently... I just saw that she also has an acting career because she was cast in a recurring role in the Netflix series Sex Education.
Ah, nice. Sex Education has been popping off. Good choice of words. But it seems very popular and very well made and stuff. So, yeah. So, those are our Black Artists Matter. You can check them out in our doobly-doo, as you say in the old YouTube language, or just our show notes in the link tree down below. Down below. It's always so weird to say that because every podcast app is different. What if it's not down below? What if it's diagonal? So Viking, we've been doing these kind of like segments or what else could you call it? Challenges or whatever. Like, 1 month we do this theme.
Theme, yeah.
Yeah, theme episodes or theme months. And this theme is summer vibes.
Yeah.
And like we said, we're having the snow and the rain coming in May. So we have that Swedish chill summer vibes, as you can hear in our voices today. Sometimes it's very nice just to pull up a blanket, have a fire roaring and some tea and chill in when it's raining outside. That's always nice.
Yeah.
But we get to record, and that's always fun to do too.
Yeah, that's also hot. It's like sitting in front of a fire.
Yeah, it gets really hot in here, yeah. It's getting hot in here, so record your show. But yeah, why did you have a special reason for picking summer vibes except for getting summer, or was there like, oh yeah?
No, but like, yeah, it's a good question. I was really struggling with this, to be honest. I thought it would be like a open and case shut, like case, like
with picking the album or
picking the like picking a summer album, like I have many.
Oh yeah, you think it's easy when but it's not always.
But I went through a lot of them. To be honest, I found a lot of them and I was going through them. But the funny thing, I think I might have said this last time we talked. On air, but
on live recording.
But that I kind of started with this because I was listening to this record when you said we were gonna do this, and I was like, oh, maybe I can pick this record, and then I kind of went around listening to like 10 other albums, and then. Spiring around and hitting back to this one.
Yeah, it happens sometimes.
Yeah,
it's gonna be interesting to see maybe when we do like our first impressions to see how you think about this being a summer album and all that. All that jazz.
Yeah,
but it's gonna be interesting to talk about. I have another question for you, Viking. Is there something special happening in a couple of days? Like 3 days from now?
There is an anniversary. Yeah,
we have a 2-year-old podcast.
Yeah.
Also something worth mentioning that, our podcast is 2 years. We've been doing this for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I don't understand how time flies. I mean, we all start out so young, all of us together in the world, and especially with this podcast. And then shit has been happening. The good old days when we were young and innocent.
Yes. Time flies.
Yeah, but I just wanted to give us a pat on the back and thank everybody who's been listening for that long or just checking in for these 2 years and hopefully follows for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
Hopefully the world will be in a better place, I hope.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely.
Yeah. I don't have a lot of small talk to talk about today.
No.
With you, except for our lives are doing lives. We're doing podcasts and we're doing fine.
Yeah.
We're just a little chill today. Else, I think we can go into the 6 degrees, Viking. Turn down the heat. Turn up the heat. I don't actually know how many degrees there are in this room right now. Probably more than 6.
Very much more than 6. Yeah.
You can open the door if you want.
Yeah. So what's your theories?
Okay, so we took Beck, right?
Yeah.
Because he was the main protagonist of the story.
Or antagonist.
Exactly. Depending on who you ask. In the Scott Pilgrim soundtrack world. And we did that to yours. Now we're going to do Beck to yours.
Dirty.
Yeah, we're going to take Beck to yours.
Yes.
So back till to Courtney Barnett somehow.
Yeah.
How the hell? I kind of don't know a lot about Courtney Barnett. Except so, Australian singer songwriter. Oh, God, I don't know. I guess there's some indie song that she covers. I would guess. It has a Beck sample, but I don't know how. I don't have a single guess. I will guess in 3 steps at least. 1, 2, 3 steps is my guess. But I don't know how through a single person.
So you're thinking 3 degrees.
3 degrees, 3 steps,
yeah.
3 rotations of the earth.
Oh my God. There it is. Sorry. I lost my
place in the world.
60 game for a second. But yeah, Three Degrees is right.
I don't have a single guess.
But I was also kind of like stumped, to be honest. But then I looked at it and I was like, yeah, of course. So we start with Beck.
Yes, yeah, that makes sense.
Yes, and Beck sampled. Let's see. So in Beck's song Heartland Feeling, brackets.
Yeah.
Fresh Meat plus Old Slabs version. He sampled Thunder Road by Bruce Springsteen. And Downbound Train by Bruce Springsteen was covered by Downbound. It was covered in Downbound Train by Kurt Weill.
Oh yeah, and they worked together.
And Kurt Weill has made a whole record with Courtney Barnett.
Yeah.
So kinda. That was like, oh yeah, of course Kurt Weill would.
Yeah, do something.
Connect to Beck. But yeah,
problem is when you don't know the artist that much, it's hard to like figure out who could they work with or do something of. But I mean, yeah, that seems logical. I almost wanted you to say Country Roads instead of what you said with Bruce Springsteen. It would have been so much more fun to hear a Country Roads version by Courtney.
Yeah.
But in my dreams, I guess. Only in my dreams.
Yes, in your dreams.
We haven't been doing the 6 degrees game for long, but we have to like check out when at the end of the season who has the more points or something. Do a little tally in the last episode or something. Yes. Before we go on break and stuff. For a little holiday that we're planning to do, but that's more in the future. I guess we're just going to Courtney Barnett, baby.
Yeah.
I mean, what is there to say? We hinted at the Australianism today because I took Keenan Lonsdale as a Black Lives Matter recommendation, who's Australian, and also Courtney Barnett is Australian.
Yes. It's the second Australian artist we have on there.
Yeah. I almost wanted to Google to see if like they would be from the same province or anything, but who cares? Australia is Australia. Yeah, you've also provided all the Australian artists for this show.
Yeah, I love with Australia.
All the back with I was gonna almost say Spinal Tap, mix Spider Bait and Spinal Tap. Oh, Spider Tap. No way.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. That's the cover band of both bands. Yeah, but with Spider Bait. The country of Australia is calling your name, Mikey.
Yes. Courtney Barnett, her full name is Courtney Melba Barnett.
Melba, such an old woman name. No offense to her, but it just sounds like an old lady sitting, knitting or something.
Yeah, that's maybe because her middle name comes from the opera singer Nellie Melba.
Who's an old woman. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. She was born in the 3rd of November in 1987.
Yeah.
So you did the math.
What's math? I don't know math.
No, of course you don't know. Her mother was a ballerina. Like, no offense to Courtney Barnett, but she's kind of just one of those artists that kind of like, she grew up and she wanted to do music, then she did music, and now she's doing music professionally.
Yeah, there's no...
There's not really a story there.
Yeah, I mean, there's not an adventure story like, stuff happened, crime podcast, conspiracy podcast. It's just like she's been rising up the ranks and doing music for the years.
Yeah.
Just chilling.
Yeah, she started playing with a band called the Olivettes, or it was also called Courtney Barnett and the Olivettes. And they did some EPs and they made two EPs and then they combined those two EPs into this EP.
Yeah, which we're gonna talk about.
Yes. Yeah, and they released it on Barnett's own label that she's co-owner of, called Milk Records, which also features artists we talked about, like Chastity the Belt and Sleater Kinney.
Cool stuff like that. She's the also creator of the record, or was she? Yeah, so she's owner and creator. Yeah. Also. I just wanted to check that out. I don't remember. Yeah. I read some interview that they're like, oh, they run everything from, like, they did one of those, like, oh, they run it from their bedroom.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a small, small family, it seems like, which is not very nice. I like that.
Yeah.
How did you discover Courtney Barnett is a question I want to ask.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because I was thinking about that, because I'm like, I'm sure you've talked about or shown me something before, but I can't remember when or why.
It's kind of funny, because it's one of those artists, like, I almost was there for the beginning. No, but
I'm a real fan.
Yeah, I'm a real fan. No, but I think I just stumbled upon her on Spotify back in around 2013. That's the year, because she didn't even exist. I was gonna say
she
didn't even have.
And then a music Thanos career. Snapped, and then everything.
But yeah, so I kind of found her right around when this EP was coming out, or this collection of EPs came out.
This EP.
I've been listening since then, and it's all been really great, and it's been fun.
Yeah, I have
I actually also seen her live, so that's very fantastic.
In Sweden?
Yes, and it kind of completed one of my childhood fantasies. So there's a venue in Stockholm.
Stockholm.
Called Fryshuset.
Yeah, Fryshuset is...
Which is translated to the, like, freezer house. It pretty much was
Have another word that works so well. You could just call it the, you know, the cooler room, cooler house, the cooler room.
The cool room, but
the cooler.
That doesn't make sense.
To go American on it?
No, but it was, I think the story goes, it was an old, like, meatpacking thing, I think, there. And then it got turned into a venue.
Yeah, I have an alternative name for it. The Ice Fortress. To make it even cooler. It doesn't work, but it's cool.
You mean the Fortress of Solitude?
Yeah. I mean, that's... Yeah, it's not very solitude. Well, right now it is in the corona world, I guess.
Yeah. So this Fryshuset was like a venue I heard about, like, when I was growing up. In rural Sweden, without any
in the country,
any way to get to Stockholm, and I was like hearing about all these artists I want to see playing at Fryshuset.
Yeah,
and then 14 years later, I actually got to go there.
Yeah, no, but I feel like that's a thing for every. Like country and stuff. That's like one of those classic America things. Like the, you know, there's a certain place in New York where everybody wants to perform. That I can't remember the name of for the life of me.
Yeah.
But you all know it.
But
we have our Swedish equivalent. I think, yeah, especially if you come from Sweden is such a long country. So if you live further up.
Yeah, but for me, it wasn't playing. It was just visiting.
No, I know. But you know what I mean. Like,
yeah, I know.
But also playing and listening in the American one, I guess, too. But yes. I wonder if musicians in Sweden have like that. One day I'm going to play at Fryshuset. It would be kind of...
Yeah.
Maybe Globen is one of the big ones. Like, yeah. I'm going to play at Globen. I think then you really feel like, oh, that's a milestone.
The Globe for our...
The Globe. Yeah. The small Sweden has everything. Yeah, no, but I feel like... That's the only time I've maybe heard of Courtney Barnett is you through you and also the music. And speaking of music, I guess we'll go into the double EP, A Sea of Split Peas. And
yeah, if you don't have anything.
No, I don't have anything about Courtney. No. My feeling is about the music, not the artist, bro. It's about the creation, not the creator. Sounds so bad. The artwork, which I really love, is also made by Courtney, which was cool to find out. And it's, of course, influenced by the famous woodblock print called The Great Wave of Kanagawa by Hokusai. Is how I guess you say his name. Yeah, Hokusai. Which is a famous, I mean, I feel like it's very quintessential, what's it called? Oh, historic Japan, like, painting that you would see in a lot also, of stuff.
Yeah, it's been like, I think it's been printed on, like, everything and anything.
Yeah.
And, like, kind of, like, yeah, but made different versions of it, like.
Yeah, but of course, it's very classic.
Yeah, it's very famous.
It's very good. Like Viking stated earlier, this EP is a combination of two other EPs, and they are called How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose, and I've Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris. I've Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris was the first one, and How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose was the second one.
Why did you say them in?
Because I have written them down in the other order for some reason.
Why did you do that?
Because that's how the songs are actually on the album. So, in your face. It's like I thought about everything. No, but this is the weird thing. So, we talked about this double EP-ness in the last ending of the show, you know. And also a little outside, but I was like, why is it a double EP? What is it doubling EP of? You know, why is there two in one? And I didn't know there was like, I thought it was, she may be like, oh, I wanted to make two EPs, but I didn't release them, so I put them into one. But then, you know, research, and that's what's good with research. Yeah. You like find out, oh, there actually were just two other ones, and then they put it into one whole thing. You're like, oh, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, but it's kind of like, you know, the album we talked about before, that is the Mold Peaches.
Yes.
Where they like put all the demo and like songs they made, like they hadn't put it on a record before, but they like compiled everything on one album and released it.
Yeah.
And speaking of that, it recently had its 20-year European anniversary.
Oh my god, that's so old.
Yes.
So classic.
Yeah. Kimia Dawson.
Makes you feel more old than me because you've been following for long.
Yeah, and Kimia Dawson had this depressing kind of like thing about it. It's almost like I want to shake it up. But you go on and I can shake it up. And he's doing some technician work, so I guess I'm left to speak. Kimura wrote, teens listening to it now is like me listening to the 60s music as a teen in the 80s. Yeah, but we're not talking about the Moldy Peaches.
No, but it was interesting to see the whole double EP thing. Did you also... I found a Pitchfork interview talking about the whole double EP-ness and why it's not maybe like an actual album.
Mm?
So I guess I want to talk about that maybe.
Hit me,
baby, one more time. So, in the Pitchfork article, they ask, your upcoming release is called a double EP, A Sea of Split Peas. Is it just two EPs combined, or do they add up to a full-length album in your mind? And Courtney stated, I don't want people to misinterpret it as an album. The first thing I made last year was this EP called I've Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris that I recorded at a friend's place. And then I took a whole year to finish the second EP, which was recorded in a studio. Doing these two EPs felt like good practice. I was learning a lot of shitty lessons about not being organized and people taking too much money and stuff like that. But I wouldn't want to be considered... I wouldn't want it to be considered an album because it weirdly feels like a lie. An album is something that you take time out and go work on. I can't wait to make an album. I got a bunch of songs half ready to go and might start next year. Yeah. And I just thought it was very interesting to see.
Yeah.
No, but I just thought the double E.T. The double E.T. that, you know, Courtney Barnett talks about, the E.T. sequel.
Yeah.
The double EP bullshit. I think it's quite interesting. So yeah. I also have some information about the EPs on the EP.
The EP on the EP?
Yeah, like...
Are you going meta?
Yeah. So like... So they go in the disordering. Disordering.
Disordering.
Swedish and English. This...
It's a discordant.
Disordering. This way, they go in...
This horny.
Yeah, this horny. So they go in this category, this this following, like I said, how to carve a carrot into a rose, and then I've got a friend called Emily Ferris. So if you look at this track listing, you'll see that.
Yeah.
And for how to carve a carrot into a rose, you have, like, Courtney Barnett wrote all the songs, and, you know, stuff like that.
Mm.
And I guess if there's anything... that pops up, I'll like tell you at that song. But we do have a couple of like people showing up, and there was a funny name. Viking, do you want to talk about the funny name that came up? Of I got a friend called Emily Ferris. Alex Hamilton was on.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because you know all songs on I Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris is performed by Courtney Barnett and the Courtney Barnetts. And I think Alex Hamilton is in the Courtney Barnett's yes. band. So, you know, Alexander Hamilton. So, yeah, I guess that's all the jokes I had. Thank you for my time. That's been my segment of the show.
Go home now, Gabriel.
Yeah, I mean, technically I am. This is my apartment. But, yeah. So, yeah, I think that was everything I had before going into the first impressions. And talking to you about, like, how you picked this for a summer theme. So... Let's do some first impressions, I guess, from you, so you can talk about like why you picked this for the summer theme, the summer vibes.
I mean, to start off, kind of the garage rock genre is very summer friendly.
Yeah,
a lot of that genre plays very good around summer. But this album specifically, I don't really know, but it has a summer feel, like especially like songs like Avant Gardner that we're gonna get to. It has a lot of like it's a song about gardening, kind of. So it.
But, it's got some summer vibes in the sense of true summer, not the ones you hear on the radio.
Yeah, and also some of the some of the slower songs has this kind of like summer night feeling to it. Then
summer nights had me a blast. Mm-hmm. That kind, or like actual summer nights, like Shakespeare.
Yeah, not Midsummer Nights.
No, I know you mean actual ones that you experience in life.
No, but yeah, sitting on the porch, and it's still hot outside, even if the sun guns down, and you hear the crickets, and you hear some good ass Courtney Barnett playing.
Yeah, but I can understand you thinking about this, like you're chilling on your back porch, the sun's going down, and you're just listening to music. And it's that wind down time where you just wind down and chill and take it easy for the day. I can agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't know if this gave me a lot of summer vibes in the way, which I always think about summer vibes. Not that you have to have like, I was joking now with radio and summer vibes, get pumped, but just so the quintessential summer vibe to me has always been, I hate to even say this, It was The Summer of 69 by Ryan Adams. I'm sorry, but it's like, it's cheesy now. But when I was growing up, it was like...
Yeah, I look at that.
When I was growing up, it was like the quintessential. That's what summer was supposed to feel like, that song.
Yeah, but I would say this falls in the same ballpark.
Yeah. So, I mean, and it's hard to like say that it doesn't have that same... This is more of that... more honest summer vibes, the actual like I'm a person, and like Summer of 69 is more like you're actually Brian Adams and you know shit happens, but it has some I know this oh yeah
but yeah
Brian Adams also has a version, right?
Yeah, he probably has.
That's the one I grew up with.
Yeah, he probably has. From
That's the one where Courtney Cox dances with him. That's the Brian Adams one.
Okay.
Okay, that's a whole other music video to watch in one day.
Okay.
But that's always been like my quintessential. But quintessential just means like the that's the first thing I go to. But there are other vibes, there are other feelings to have, and this is more like an honest, actual person talking about their life. And I kind of like that a lot. First impression wise, I really like the balance between like delicate, what's the soft, subtle. Way of singing a lot, but also the what's it called, the storytelling or the cadence of the voice a lot. But also it's very down to earth and candid, and I kind of works with those summer vibes of an actual person. It feels like, you know, the average Joe, to speak.
Yeah, but it's kind of taking that kind of, you know, the laid-back tone of William Shatner but actually singing.
Yeah. It was a Summer of 69. Now we're no more William, please. No more William Shatner. So the songs. Let's go into the songs.
Yes.
So it starts out with the songs from How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose EP on this double EP, a double EP of Sea of Split Peas. It's so hard to say that fast. And the first song is Out of the Woodwork.
Yeah. And this is almost a 6-minute intro to this double EP that is a amazing masterpiece of arrangement, I would say. I just love like the playing back and forth between the piano and the guitar in the song. It's just it's both playful and like also like have this seriousness to it, and yeah, and also like the whole chaotic outro is just superb.
The song with the, there's a lot of like chill vibes, but the outro is something else. Yeah, I really love the outro. We got some genius or not genius going on.
Oh yeah, I have one also. I wonder if we have the same one.
Okay, so but let's go with the lyric where I found it, and we'll see if that's
then we don't have the same.
Okay, so I was busy underwater, seeing how long I could hold my breath. A drowning flower caught my eye, and I had to come up for air. Which is an amazing lyric. It's like poetry, honestly.
We're going to go through this and pretty much talk about it in lasting impressions, but there's a lot of good lyrics.
Yeah, and sometimes we pre-emphasize that, like at the top of the show, and we can just say that all the lyrics they're so well written. But genius annotation for this lyric says, in an interview with Uncut magazine, Barnett talked how the lyrics described her ability to limit her ambition to stave off failure. Quoted saying, "I think that's a natural defense mechanism, but then you also don't get anywhere." In brackets, I'm projecting. This concerns her hiding underwater. She naturally decides to back down from her ambitions and hide. Seeing how long she can shy away from her work, however, there is a beacon of hope for Barnett that coincides with this defense mechanism. She knows herself she can't hold breath forever. Quoted saying in another instance of like saying, I started challenging myself to do something. My ambition stems from my will to achieve something to keep me from going insane. And the Redditor, the genius annotator.
Are we on Reddit?
No, the genius annotator said, the drowning flower here represents her also natural desire to achieve something. She knows she can reach her ambitions and thus comes on top, comes up from hiding to do so. And I actually feel like this is quite genius in stating, like, even if it's like kind of stating the obvious, but going into this and talking about some of the quotes or stuff that Barnett has self said.
Also, when you start with that, also when you start with a quote, like, the chances are you're gonna get a genius mark, because then you have a source and you talk like a good boy or girl or they.
Yeah, a person, yeah. But also just using a lot of the artist's own words and using that and say, oh, well, this is what I think, but not saying that's what she says. A lot of the genius stuff that are not geniuses are like, no, they mean this. No, it's not. I think they mean this.
So,
what is your genius or not genius?
About that.
Genius or not genius?
Well, this is not an annotation. It's a comment.
Oh.
And the comment reads, this song is about the narcissist. Sounds like, sounds just like what a narc does.
A narc as a person who narcs on other people?
Okay. Yeah, I don't understand.
Okay.
Either this is a person that has some vendetta against Corny Barnett, or this person is reading something else. I can see, like, kind of, like, far-fetched reading of this song into, like, some sort of narcissism, like,
you mean the Pokemon Farfetch'd?
Yeah, yeah.
Boom,
but that's like me arguing Bigfoot.
Bigfoot. So, you want to go to the next song?
So yeah, but don't you have a comment on that? You didn't. No, I said it's genius.
I said it was not genius. In me just saying, sure.
Okay, yeah, yeah. I thought it was just so stupid. I had to add it here.
The second song, Don't Apply Compression Gently.
Yes.
And I just want to talk about the song Information, the genius song Information, baby.
Yeah.
This song is about a broken up relationship that Barnett initially bitterly regrets, but in the end comes to realize that she is simply better off no longer being in it. And also,
I'm gonna steal mine.
It can also be read to reflect same.
Oh, okay.
Courtney's rejection of the judgments and expectations of the music industry / consumers.
Yeah,
she wants to break the mold and be the artist she wants to be. And just talking about that before going into like the song title and what the other thing is.
Yeah.
But Don't Apply Compression Gently and talking about the relationship aspect is very easy to like get into, but the aspect of thinking about it from the music industry is quite interesting.
Yeah.
And I like that.
Yeah, definitely.
And I don't know if for me, when it comes to the whole song, but like there's something that really sticks with me here. I think it could be like how she emphasizes the words and she has a certain cadence in that she has another dialect and stuff, but just her cadence in how she sings and the song I really like a lot.
Yeah.
You want to talk about what "Don't Apply Compression Gently" is also?
Yeah.
Because I have a thing too.
Yeah,
you can go.
But yeah,
and also tell me your song, facts. I was gonna say or thoughts.
The title of the song is a mnemonic device.
For what, Viking?
That makes you remember the chord progression of the song. It's D A C G.
Yeah.
Don't apply compression.
Yeah, and there's a Swedish chord progression that I got to learn when I played guitar. And do you know what that is? In Swedish is En ballgroda dansar aldrig ensam. Or A cool frog never dances alone, if you have to translate it. And it's going from the lightest string to the heaviest string. And it was always so fun, you know, like, oh, En ballgroda dansar aldrig ensam. It's like, why is it a frog? Basically, it's just the same thing. It just works within the naming convention.
Yeah.
But it's so fun with mnemonic devices. It's like, what word can you put instead of the actual thing? And if you go to the Swedish Wikipedia for music stuff, there is like en biff är stark, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. There's a lot of them.
And there's like, why? Yeah, there's a lot of weird ones. And it's just fun to think about.
Yeah.
I remember doing one for the periodic table, all the elements. I did like a song I remember doing, and I learned of them, all of them, but I can't remember the Mnemonic device anymore. Do you remember any like special stories about the Mnemonic device?
Oh,
I think they're fun. That's why I'm asking.
Yeah. I remember we had like the mnemonic devices for like the vowels and the consonants and stuff like that.
Yeah, the Swedish ones, of course.
Yeah, of course. Of course,
of course we live in Sweden, the best country.
That's on the one I remember like off top of my head.
And they're fun. I always want to like learn more just to see if they will actually learn me more.
No.
What else do you have to say about the don't apply compression gently? Song-wise.
No, okay, so I got some phlegm stuck in my throat and I leaned backward to clear my throat and then I hit my head in the door frame on this small room.
So this
is all going very well.
Professionalism.
It's a great song. I love this song and like I think she portrays this like this breakup in a very like interesting way, and it just gets summed up with like the last line, which is I may not be 100% happy, but at least I'm not with you, and that I can relate to that in some of my breakups. Like this breakup doesn't make me happy, but it's also like freeing in a sense.
Yeah. Oh baby.
So, baby.
And like the genius song in for like Bio, whatever I said, like the you know, initially bitterly regrets and stuff like that, and it's no longer being in it, it's just better. There's a lot of that.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
I totally agree. But you wanna go to the song that you hinted at earlier, Avant Gardener?
Yes. And you gotta love the pun.
Or Avant. Avant Gardener.
Yeah. No, but yeah, I mean, you're gonna love the pun.
Yes.
There's some puns and like fun titles in the whole album.
Oh, yeah.
EP. But that we're gonna get to. But this is my favorite for sure.
It's the most popular song, I think, if you check around the interwebs.
But now I'm just talking about the name. Yeah, I love this song also, but yes, the name is so good in so many ways.
Yeah. The music is really, really well made here, and everything comes together just so well.
Yeah.
And yet again, the lyrics and stuff, but also the references in general that are in this song.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about, like, so to, like, take it for someone who hasn't heard this song. That you should.
That's not a thing. People listen to the album first, always.
Pause, listen to the song at least.
Always.
And then return. But this song tells this story about a fictional Courtney, I guess, taking a day to make the backyard pretty and making a garden, and then gets an asthma attack and gets driven off in an ambulance. That's pretty much. Short enough.
I have a feeling that this is a true life story, to be honest.
No, as I did my research,
based on a true story, then that you know where it's like
no
sliver of true.
It seems like she has made up this because there's a lot of like you know the metaphors for like asthma attack and anxiety and stuff like that. So it seems made up, but yeah, you never know.
In my head canon, it's based on a true story.
Yeah.
Coming this summer.
The slide guitar in the song, I don't even like. I'm not a professional musician. I don't know if it's a slide guitar, but it feels like a slide guitar, and it makes it very dreamy and dreamlike. So
psychedelic dream or like actual dream?
No, it's kind of has this very like dreamlike quality, like a dream.
Yeah, I just feel like some of the music, especially where we have electric guitar, it goes into some psychedelic That's why I'm asking.
And there's some great lines from this. I've written down some of them.
Yeah, you tell them. You tell them, Mike.
One is, I get okay, I'll start over. I get adrenaline straight to the heart, like Uma Thurman post-overdose and kickstart.
Yes.
Do you have another one?
I mean, just because of the representation of, Australian foods and stuff, my throat feels like a funnel filled with Weet-Bix and kerosene.
Yeah.
Oh, Weet-Bix, man. Oh, they're so good.
Yeah, I remember eating them as a young boy.
Yeah.
You can't really... I don't see them around
I found them once or twice in Sweden, but it's hard. Yeah. I also, when I was a youngin, when you just ate everything, I did something horrendous and just put peanut butter on a dry one and just put it in my mouth.
Yeah.
And just disgusts me to this day.
Yeah.
But when you're going through puberty, I guess, or a teenager, you just need to eat everything you see. Turning into something, becoming stronger. What else do you have?
The paramedic thinks I'm clever because I play guitar. Yeah. I think he's clever because she stops people from dying.
Yeah, I think that's really good.
Yeah, and the last one I have is, I take a hit from an asthma puffer. I do it wrong. I was never good at smoking bong.
Yeah. And also, just the chorus in this song. I'm having trouble breathing in. I'm not that good at breathing. How it's sung. Oh, it's so good. I mean, the whole song is good, but there's something special about how the chorus is. And for somebody who, I think a lot of people who have had anxiety and panic attacks. Ooh, baby, yeah. You're like, just calm down, breathe in. You're like, yeah, that's the easiest thing to tell somebody. And you know it's, that's what you need to do. You need to calm down and you do breathing exercises. But it's so hard. So yeah, it's really well made.
Yeah.
Let's go to History Eraser, the fourth song.
Yeah, speaking of good titles for tracks.
Yeah.
So I mean, this is pretty much a song about partly alcohol, I would say.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's why History Eraser is such a great...
The genius song info says, it's a creative lyric writing. It's an alcoholic ramble through multiple bizarre and lucid experiences.
Yeah, but it seems like a lucid experience brought on by alcohol, for sure. But yeah, I mean, this is some of the best lyrics like in the last decades, I would say.
Okay.
To be honest. I love these lyrics. There's so much layer to these lyrics that you can like dig into and analyze. So I have an example.
Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, okay. So I found an Ezra Pound and made a bet that if I found a cigarette, I'd drop it all and marry you. Just then a song comes on, you can't always get what you want. The Rolling Stones, oh woe is we, the irony. The Stones became the Moths and once all inhibitions lost. The hipsters made a mission to the farm. We drove by the tractor there. The yellow straw replaced our hair. We laced the dairy river with the cream of our sweet vermouth.
Vermouth. Yeah, I don't like that word either.
Vermouth.
Vermouth, because it's a drink in a place. I hate that it's like TH.
And it's too close to Vermont. Also.
Yeah, it's weird. The Stones became the Moss. Because you know Rolling Stones gather no moss.
But the irony.
I know.
That's what gets me for like, so the whole part about like. So we haven't talked about this, but Courtney Barnett is gay, and this part of the song kind of talks about the irony of like you can't marry in Australia.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that.
Or it might be changed, but at the time at least, Now, when I said it, I like maybe they're in the recent year actually past that.
You can Google while I tell you some stuff,
but
if you want,
yeah,
yeah, no, but there's amazing lyrics. These lyrics are poems, honestly. They are. It's a lot of this is poetry or like us joking about Shakespeare, but very well written. I have to agree. I also love the chorus in this song a lot.
Yeah.
In my brain, I rearranged the letters on the page to spell your name, and how it's sung is just so amazing. The flow of the song, the whole song, is incredible. I think the song never gets dull, because we've said this so many times, both, and maybe you, who are people who listen to this, also do the same, but we re-listen to these albums so many times, and sometimes you think, oh, the song is going to get worse, or, you know, old, but for me, this song never gets dull. Never.
No,
and it's so... It's very well. Yeah, I like it a lot.
So, yeah, they actually did it in 2017, which is hell of a late. But also, what I read here is like they in 2003 they started giving the same recognition to same sex couples. And with a federal law in 2019 that recognized couples of the same sex.
Hmm. Yeah, well, that's good. It's passed now, at least.
Yeah. So yeah, they were very late on that wallpaper. I'm glad they have changed it since this album was made.
Yeah. No, but I like the song. There is really amazing lyrics. You have any more, or you want to go to the next song?
No, not about this.
Okay, so we're gonna go to David, and I have some genius bio information for you.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say it's always fun to go from the last song to this, because the last song is very lyrically complex, this is very simple.
Yeah, less is more sometimes, I guess, maybe. Yeah. So the genius bio information for this song is, David is a missive to Davy, referenced in the third verse of the song, but may also be named after David Bowie. The chord progression is reminiscent of Bowie's Genie, so hard to say. And Barnett has been known to sew it into a cover of that song from this one in live performances.
Yeah.
So I guess if you wanted to know, there you know.
Yeah.
And there you go. What do you have to say about this song, Viking? You got anything?
Mm. It's catchy and fun.
Yeah.
That's pretty much.
Don't want you around, Viking. Get out of here.
Yeah.
So let's see, the next song we have, Anonymous Club, and I like this song, in the sense that it's very mellow and calm. It kind of has some Fleet Foxes vibes for me.
I mean,
if you watch the music video, also it has some more Fleet Foxes vibes.
Yeah, so, yeah. And this is especially the song that is very fit for late summer nights.
Yeah, I can get that. Oh, and also, this would be the last song of How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose on that singular EP, which is also maybe worth saying. You want to go to the next song?
Yeah.
Lance Jr., which would be the first song of I've Got a Friend Called Emily Ferris.
Yeah. We have some fun stuff here to talk about.
Yeah, you tell me.
So, this song appears to be a adaptation of the Dandy Warhols song called Lance, who in its turn is inspired by Nirvana's song Polly. And I have listened to all three versions of this, and the guitar strumming of all the three songs are very similar.
Okay.
So there's definitely a connection between all three songs.
Okay.
But I can't see it really, because somewhere on Genius, someone said that like the lyrics was similar between Lance Jr. and Lance, but I really can't see that in any way, but maybe that's for the more
expert,
the more educated of us.
Yeah, maybe.
To see, but yeah.
I still think that's quite fun that there is an an adaptation of an inspiration that's an actual song. That's quite fun. It gives a whole another world, I guess.
But also like, so also a fun thing that connects to something we talked about before. What other artists that we talked about recently made a song called Polly?
Oh, I don't know. I also thought about that. Now, Moses Sumney.
Yeah. And it was very funny because I Googled Polly, and the first thing that came up was Moses Sumney.
Yeah, like, which is understandable. Oh, yeah. I was thinking about that now when I saw that, because I've never heard Nirvana's Polly as far as I know. And I'm like, oh, maybe. You never know.
Well, you heard my sweet rendition of the first line yeah, exactly. In the break we had.
Oh, amazing. I like this song. It has a lot of tenderness with how she sings, or they sing in the song, because there's two voices.
Yeah.
But also there's a point about talking about masturbation in the song.
Well, it starts out with talking about masturbation.
I'm not saying where it is. I'm just saying there is.
Yeah.
And Courtney Barnett has told the Independent once that when she was asked if she gets embarrassed about singing about, you know, masturbation and stuff like that, she said, nah, I try not to think about it, because then you're like, should I be saying this? And I should just do it. That's what she says.
Mm.
You know, like, and I think that's a good message. And it's good in the way of knowing that she likes just being open and saying what she wants to say and stuff like that. And that's really good. Are you looking after yourself, Viking?
Well, barely.
Okay. But the song, Are You Looking After Yourself? How about that then?
Yes.
Yeah, that's much better than me. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. I always forget this song is 7 minutes and 40 seconds long. It's a hell of an epic of a song, but...
I mean, it's so weird to call it a song in a way, too. You know how, because of the subject matter within the song.
Oh, yeah.
So it's quite interesting, because it's a song that depicts either a phone conversation or an email exchange, or between the worrying mother and herself. Protesting replies, basically.
Yeah.
And it's quite interesting because it is a song, but it is a short story also.
Yeah.
Really.
And also...
It's like a bedtime story's length, I would feel like, you know. It's very interesting.
Yeah, and it also has a fake ending, I mean.
Oh my god, just like all those bedtime stories. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like the song. It's I hope that something... that maybe I haven't found out, but I like stuff like this that are a little different sometimes. We've talked about this before.
Oh, yeah.
When we talk about like stuff that's discordant or goes against the grain, or stuff that is not in the normal rule of writing a song. I like stuff like this. So I hope, and maybe not the whole album, but stuff that is more like depicting an actual story of events and going through them and just singing. And one of the people we talked about a lot sometimes does this in some songs, I feel like, from my point of view, and that's The Mountain Goats, of course.
Yeah.
But oh otherwise...
We think about...
oh, yeah, yes.
We think about... but the funny thing is this. So I'm going to interrupt you.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
The fun thing is kind of like they started at different ends. So John Janiel has stated before that, like, he started out like... making very quick songs and not taking the times with like great outros. But Courtney Barnett and he kind of worked up to it, and like in his later career they have longer intros and like more other stuff than singing quickly and banging on a guitar. And here it's like she starts out with this EP that has this like almost 8 minute song on it, and later on she has not really done this again, so it's kind of interesting to see the like and I would like to see her to do more of this stuff actually.
I think it would be interesting. I hope just in general that I find more stuff like this. It's very interesting. So
Yeah, the line that's always stuck with me from this song is, "I don't want no 9 to 5 telling me that I'm alive."
Yeah.
It's a classic line. Yeah.
Short and sweet and to the point, I would say. Yeah. Do you want to go to the song that is instead of Scotty doesn't know, but Scotty says? Yeah. Ah, that is a reference for you.
Yeah. I was fishing so hard for some sort of Star Trek joke.
Yeah, I understand that
song, but
I cannot do it, Captain. Yeah. I can't give you that much power, but Scotty, you have to, or else we will not survive. Yeah. Why is this that I don't like Star Trek always? I hate myself. So Scotty says, before we go into anything, Viking, did you watch the music video?
Yeah.
Oh, you did?
I mean, I've seen it before.
Oh, but I don't know. Maybe you're like, I will skip it. The music video is so wholesome and so cute.
Yeah.
But also, Courtney wearing a Freddy Krueger-like sweater through the whole music video is amazing.
Yes. Yeah.
Because you're like, fantastic. Because she's basically dancing and singing when the boy or the gentleman, as we know it, is not looking for most of it. And then you see her in a Freddy Krueger sweater.
Yeah.
It's so like so cute and so wholesome. And then you're like, wait, but that's a Freddy Krueger sweater. What if she... But no, of course not.
Yeah, and I love all her music videos because like all of them is... It feels very inspired by like late 90s, early 2000 music videos.
Yeah.
And like there's just, I don't remember which song, but it's one music video from her first album that's just them playing tennis pretty much.
Yeah, it's on this too.
Or is it from this?
Yeah, this is from this. This is the one where she says, it is Avant Gardner actually.
Is it?
Yeah, because when she sings about having a hard time to breathe and stuff, they're playing the tennis.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, then I'm just...
I watched it today, so I know.
Yeah, yeah, and then I'm just...
You're being a dumb, dumb Viking. Yeah. No, but it's understandable. When you follow an artist for a while, it gets like that.
Yes.
Sometimes it do be like that. But I do like this music video and the other ones, they're really nice.
Yeah, also, you're right.
And also talking about the song, the style of the song and the story and the in general of the song within the music video by itself and the inflection that she has always with her singing, I like a lot.
Yeah,
I like that. What else do you gotta say about Scotty saying something, or do you want to go to the next song?
No, Scotty has shut up now.
Okay, Scotty doesn't know, so he doesn't know. Let's go to canned tomatoes, in brackets, whole.
Yeah.
I guess because
that's very important.
Because is it like a two-part song or something? Do you know?
No, it's like they're whole tomatoes. They're canned tomatoes.
Oh, I get it now.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't think about that joke. I hate myself. I excuse myself from the podcast forever. Yes. Bye.
That's why I love all of these titles.
Cause yeah, there's so that's many. A good joke.
Yeah,
we've talked about some of the like music before, but we've mostly been gushing about the lyrics. But the drums, and guitar in synchronicity or whatever, like working together in the song, was already on point. But when that outro comes, baby, whoo! That outro is sublime. Definitely. And we've talked about this, but when we're like, oh, the intro, the outro on every song, it's weird. But yeah, there's a lot of good like intros and outros. I feel like the outros on these songs, and especially this song. Oh, yeah, it's amazing. Heavenly.
Yeah.
You got anything else to say about my canned tomatoes?
No, but this is a very song. You kind of mentioned it before, but this is a very much a song that's like, it's just a song about life.
Yeah.
Like the lyrics is just like it's like nothing, there's nothing interesting in the lyrics, or there's nothing happening in the lyrics. It's just like life.
Yeah. Yeah, and just like hanging out with a person and going through life together. Yeah. That's life do be like that.
Yeah.
Porcelain. This is the 11th song, the next song.
Yeah.
Here is an amazing, there's amazing lyrics, but the opening lyric is just so good. I found you at the store, pretty as porcelain. You're worth so much more than what you're going for. I just feel like, yeah, I like it. It stuck with me every time. And yet again, talking about the music and the outros, the discordant outro here. I love it. I actually read like a review or something where they didn't like the Porcelain as much or musically.
Oh.
And they didn't like that it was discordant. I'm like, that's what I'm here for. I love it.
Yeah,
it's so good.
It's like,
so it's so interesting when you can read that sometimes.
Yeah, that piano kind of comes from nowhere and just hits you in the face. And it's just perfect. It's perfect.
I also think, I mean, like Genius and other stuff seem to be going this way. And my ears also, but I feel like the piano's like also out of tune or off key, either on purpose or just because it's old or something. Because sometimes it's not just not playing the same notes, but they're not, you know, it's not tuned correctly. And and that's kind of awesome too.
Pianos is kind of out of tune because...
Yeah.
Who has the time to...
I mean, a lot of people, actually.
Yeah, I know.
Just because you don't own...
But
yeah, I get you.
You get my... Like,
you want to go to...
It's hard.
It is hard. You want to go to the last song?
Yes.
Ode to Odetta?
Yes.
Do you know anything about this song?
So, this is the first ode I think we have on this podcast. I love odes.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, odes are kind of the... it's a lyrical stanza, pretty much, that kind of aims to praise, glorify, or honor a person or event. To be short. And this song in special honors, what I think at least, Odetta Holmes, which is a great singer that was very prevalent during the civil rights movement in America.
Oh.
She kind of was...
That's cool. Yeah. I didn't know that. I couldn't find anything, really.
No, I don't have, like...
not the certain source. That's just like...
No, I have no source on Courtney Barnes saying so, but the only, like, famous Odetta I can find is Odetta Holmes.
Okay.
So I'm
speculating.
I'm making an educated guess.
Yeah.
I would say
speculated. Yeah, I like the it has a very nice melody and rhythm to the song. It's very like simplistic in a lot of ways, but and it's quite interesting to that the album kind of ramped up so fast in the way of songs, like going very fast and then just mellowing down. It's quite interesting.
Yeah. It's interesting that she shows this order.
Yeah.
I think. Because, like, imagine this, like, also, if you switch places, that it started with Lance Jr. And then it kind of...
Do you mean the whole double EP-ness?
Yeah, like, think of it, if you switch the two EPs.
Yes, that makes
sense. Yeah, so it started with Lance Jr., and it has a short intro, and then it goes into, like...
The other songs on Emily Ferris.
Yes.
And then it goes into How to Carve a Carrot into Rose.
Yeah, but then it goes, and it kind of ends with O to Odetta, and then it goes over to Out of the Woodworks, which is a long song, and then it goes... on and it ends on Anonymous Club, which is a soft song.
I mean, that's also something I thought about, and I read that some people that like this album or double EP basically thought that it got a little slow to the end. But I mean, there's give and take to that.
Yeah.
It's kind of but also it kind of like with the whole summer vibe for us. If you go on that theme, you have like. Most people are like morning people or get everything done in the morning. Yeah. You ramp up, you do everything. It's stressful, it's fast, it's going. And then you ramp down to the night. So if you think about our theme, it kind of works within that theme.
Yeah.
But I do agree. It would be interesting to see it the other way around. So you have to do a playlist and put them in that order.
Like the only response I have to that, I would say like the first EP that is on this double EP is a better overall like, I think...
Oh, you mean How to Carve a Carrot into a Rose?
Yeah, I would say it's a better EP.
Yes.
So I can see in that sense that, like, that you could, like... But still, they both are very great pieces of music.
Yes, pieces of music. Yeah, let's keep talking about like our lasting impressions, I guess, because we're here to stay.
Yes, no, but summer's here.
Summer is here with our rainy, snowy May. Hopefully, yes. To the next one, we'll see. But I like this album in general. It is a little weird with the. I kind of do like it, but I also would be interesting to see the other way around. But that's something I can just fix on Spotify. So. And also, that's kind of a cool thing with Spotify, that you can rearrange your own storytelling of something else.
You can make your own album exactly. And put it on... No.
Yeah, it's called a playlist.
or actually an album.
Yeah, I know. We could make an album. It's not impossible. But in general...
Also, we are on Spotify, so you can go listen to us.
Exactly.
Our stupid faces on Spotify.
That's maybe where we are right now. We are all and nothing at the same time. But in general of this album, just like we've already stated and gushed about, but the lyrics are, of course, just amazing.
Yeah.
They are, a lot of them are just poems, I feel like, or certain stuff of writing. They are just amazing words.
Yeah, I think I didn't realize how gifted
she's lyrically.
Until she released her first album.
Mm.
And then I kind of went back and I got like, because
she's a very good lyricist. Yeah, I agree.
Because what catched me with this double EP the first time I listened to it, I know it's not the first impressions, but I'm gonna do it anyway. was the guitar and the piano and like and all that and So going back, and especially now when I get to, like, it was a long time since I just sat and read through all the lyrics, and you see that it's very, very well crafted.
Yeah, but I mean, it does really help to have the lyrics on hand a lot of the times when we talk about music. That's always how it is,
yeah.
I feel like, but I actually think all the songs that are either slow or fast, it doesn't matter, just not having music to them and reading them as they would be written as a poem or a certain piece of work as that or spoken word or anything kind of helps them getting more power in one other way. Like not that they get more power, but like they get another story to tell. And it's very nice. Like us talking slow about them, like you did when you were reading it, it got so much more powerful somehow. And I liked it a lot.
Well, also, I wouldn't say I made her lyrics a service, but sure.
No,
sure.
But I mean in the sense of just like slowing it down and like processing them. But also, you're a good storyteller, okay? Okay. Speaking of storytelling, the storytelling and the intimacy of the songs in general and how Courtney portrays them, I really like a lot. And I'm left with her, kind of what I said with the first impressions, but this aspect of balance between being down to earth and candid, but also soft spoken and delicate, you know, like, and it has nothing with saying a word strong or hard or just like the emphasis on words and stuff like that. So I like that a lot. I'll probably go back to it in a while, but I'm interested to see what comes next in the future too.
Yeah.
So those were our lasting impressions. I guess it's time for my summer vibes. So when we were doing research for this and I was doing stuff in my life, I put on my own album to get those summer vibes.
Oh my God.
And you know what's the most important thing in life, Viking? It is not regretting something. And therefore, we're listening
to Brian Adams.
No, that's not what we're listening to. We're listening to the band, The Regrets, because we don't want to have any regrets this summer vibes. And we're listening to the album Feel Your Feelings, Fool, with with an exclamation point. This is how the album cover looks like.
Oh.
A big ass cake and them on it. And this is how their band looks on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah.
The Regrets are a band that I've been following sneakily behind Viking's back now. But I think there was just a, you know, just like you said, I'm just going to state this very fast, but like a Spotify or a YouTube thing, and I'm like, ah, just press it. And then, yeah, my life became the regrets, but I have no regrets about it. So that's our next album.
So if there's a thing I hate with music band names,
mm-hmm.
is that there's so many bands that are named the, with an R word.
Okay.
So it gets very confusing. Okay.
Okay, but if you say anything else, you'll regret it. So yeah, but that's gonna be a fun album to listen to. You can listen to it on the Spotify's and the other places. There's something called Gjogle. You'll find everything you need on that platform, Gjogle. Google. But else, if you want to find us somewhere, that is also Google or other places, we are The Record Swappers, basically anywhere, and you can email us at therecordswappers@gmail.com. I wanted to say .org so bad, .com.
It's going to be a fun episode, because the first recommended related search from Google is the regret problematic.
Okay. I don't know anything.
No.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But otherwise, as I was saying, yeah, if you can find us anywhere, just follow and support us. If you have a podcast platform where you can like, view, follow, subscribe, anything, and just shout us out to anybody you know and everybody you know. Yes. And we'll swap at you next time.
Bye-bye.